Maybe one of your friends put you up to it?
I don't really have any friends.
Right. No friends. Just a kid looking for his aunt and uncle who have been missing for years. You know, if you're going to make up stories, you should make them a little more believable. 7 years is a long time.
Yeah, maybe I should just go. I wasn't trying to waste your time. I was just sort of curious if you guys might have some information that other people don't.
Well, now, no need to jump up yet, Officer Gregg insisted. Just keep yourself parked right where you are. Let's get this figured out. So, tell me, what are your aunt and uncle's names?
The oppressive feeling grew and then settled over Ozzy like a cold, wet blanket. Officer Gregg didn't want to help him. He didn't even believe him. Visions of being locked up and shipped away filled Ozzy's head.
Maybe I should go and come back with my parents.
Gregg set his pen down and stared at the boy.
You seem a little skittish, the officer said. Why don't you tell me what your name is?
Clark, Ozzy lied.
Clark what?
Clark Bird.
So, what's really going on here, Clark? You look nervous.
I was just hoping to help my parents find my aunt and uncle.
Right, and what are your parents' names?
Ozzy had no desire to give out his parents' real names.
I just call them Mom and Dad.
Sure,
Gregg said, beginning to sound even more suspicious.
But that's not very helpful. There's a lot of parents named Mom and Dad. For example, mine are. But what are their given names?
Let's just forget it, Ozzy pleaded. I was only wondering if you had a computer I could use to look up missing people. But now I need to get going because I'm late for... Well, I have to get home.
We do have computers, but I need you to stay put for a moment. We take things like this seriously around here, so let me ask Sheriff Wills if he's heard of a couple that went missing 7 years ago that are related to a couple named Mom and Dad.
Gregg got up and left the office, closing the door behind him. Ozzy sat stiffly in his chair, not knowing what to do. Clark peeked out of his pocket.
I don't trust that guy, the bird whispered. Me neither. This was a bad idea. We've got to get out of here.
I told you we should have gone to scope out that lamppost.
Ozzy stood up and checked the office door. It was closed, but when he turned the knob, he could tell it wasn't locked. He peeked out the bottom corner of the small glass window in the door and saw Gregg talking to another officer down the hall. Clark wriggled out of the pocket and sat on top of Ozzy's hair. Who's he talking to?
I don't know, but we need to leave. I think if I run, I can make it out before they're able to stop me.
What about Wilma? Clark asked.
Her back's turned.
Clark looked out the window.
I see something that might help, the bird chirped softly. Open the office door a little bit so I can get out. When I turn the lights off, run.
Ozzy nodded. Then, as quietly as he could, he turned the knob on the door and pushed it open a couple of inches. The hinges squeaked a little as they moved. Officer Gregg looked down the hall toward his office, but before he could see what was happening, Clark shot out of the 2-inch crack and flew like a bullet to a long row of light switches behind the front counter. The bird hovered in front of the panel and kicked at the switches with his talons, quickly turning off all 14 of them. The police station went dark. Ozzy ran out the office door, dodging Wilma as she spun around. He jumped over the front counter and grabbed his bags off the bench. Instantly, Gregg and Wilma were after him. He shoved the doors open, heading out into the light of the dying day. Clark flew next to his right ear, squawking at him, "Remember, they've got guns!" The two cops were already out the doors and yelling for Ozzy to stop. The boy froze. At that moment, a small white car pulled into the parking lot and rolled between Ozzy and the cops. A man wearing a felt hat and beard was driving.
He glanced around, slowing down as he looked for a parking space. One of the cops banged on his roof to try to get him to move out of the way.
Go!
Clark screeched. Ozzy raced through the parking lot as the cops tried to scramble around the car. The boy bolted across the street. He ran across the backyard of a large house and jumped a short fence into the backyard of a smaller one. Clark flew up high and circled back to see if anyone was following them. He saw Officer Greg and Wilma in the parking lot yelling at the man in the white car, who was yelling back about private property and suing for damages. Clark flew back down.
You should keep running!
Ozzy took the advice to heart. He ran for miles until he was lost in the forest and confident that he wouldn't be caught. When he finally made it home, he was exhausted and disappointed. At least your hair's still nice, Clark tried. It was a small comfort.
Chapter 14. Everybody's talking about you now.
Ozzy related to Harry Potter a lot. Like him, his parents were gone, and he had a scar. Of course, his was on his right arm, and it was the result of a tree branch nicking him many years ago. Like Harry, he was male. The comparisons pretty much dried up after that. Unlike Harry, Ozzy wasn't required to wear a uniform to school. So when the next morning rolled around, he got dressed in one of his new outfits, smeared some goop in his hair, and brushed his teeth with toothpaste that tasted like cherries. Then he stood in front of the mirror in his parents' room and marveled at the change.
"You look put together," Clark said.
"I feel something inside me. Something strange."
"Pride?" Ozzy guessed.
"No, I'm just not as embarrassed for you." Ozzy reached the tracks and stood on the side of the Mule Pole Highway, waiting for the bus to arrive. It was Friday, and he was worried about his clothes and if they actually matched.
"Stop it already," Clark said. "They match."
Even with Clark's reassurance, something about the red shirt he was wearing with green pants seemed off.
"What about my hair?"
"Really?
It looks hot."
"I don't trust you. Birds are inherently honest." Ozzy tried to flatten his hair just a little. The bus appeared down the road, and Clark hid in one of Ozzy's pockets. The long, noisy vehicle came to a squeaking stop just before the tracks. Mr. Guta opened the door to check for oncoming trains, and Ozzy stepped on. Guta smiled at Ozzy as if he had said something funny when clearly he hadn't.
"You look like a cleaned-up festive version of yourself."
"Thanks, I think," Ozzy replied. He stepped down the aisle and took his seat.
"Merry Christmas,"
the boy with the half-shaved head said. "Wait," Ozzy said. "What month is it?"
"It's butt month, but you're wearing red and green."
"Right, and those signify Christmas?"
"Jeez, you take the fun out of teasing you."
All first period, people wished him Merry Christmas. Second hour was no different. But even with the festive colored clothes he was wearing, people were much kinder to him. Students he had never noticed noticed him. A boy with a green backpack and long hair complimented his shoes. Before lunch, he went to the office and gave the secretary $100 to put in account 2528. She took the money without ever looking to check that Ozzy's name belonged to the number. Then, when lunch rolled around, he picked all the food he wanted and took it to his spot at the table by the far wall. Clark wriggled out of his pocket.
"It's weird how people keep talking to you," the bird whispered. "I knew these colors were wrong. I should have..."
"Who are you talking to, Ozzy?"
It was Ziggy. She was standing on the other side of the table, smiling.
"No one. Just myself."
"Again? That can be healthy, or it can be a sign of mental illness."
"Probably some of both."
I see you went shopping, and I like the haircut.
Yeah.
Ozzy self-consciously ran his fingers through his hair.
It's a little holiday-ish, but you look amazing.
Really?
Yeah. I've even had two friends ask me about you today.
Is that good?
One of them's trouble. The other has issues, so... no.
See if you can find a third with some sort of anger problem.
I'm on it, she said. Listen, I'd sit by you, but Christmas is over. Besides, I have to talk to someone about an assignment for math.
Cool,
Ozzy tried to say nonchalantly.
I'll let you go so you can continue talking to yourself.
I appreciate it.
Siggy walked off. Ozzy whispered into his lap.
That was better, right? I mean, I think I even made sense when I talked to her.
You didn't completely humiliate yourself. I'm very not as embarrassed of you.
Ozzy took a bite of his sandwich and smiled as he chewed. Chapter 15. WFH. After school on Monday, Ozzy walked over to Main Street. There was an electronics store called Volts near the Chinese restaurant. The store was big, and all of the signs and shelving inside were blue. Ozzy walked down the aisles trying to look like he knew what he was doing.
Can I help you?
A man in a yellow shirt asked him.
Yes, I want to buy a small computer for homework. Do they all run on electricity?
The salesman looked confused.
Yes, but many have a long battery life. A tablet might work well for you.
Yeah, Ozzy said. That's probably better. I've seen people at my school with those. Do they take electricity?
Yes,
the man said slowly, looking puzzled.
But they can charge for a long time. You probably want one with Wi-Fi and cell data so you can watch movies and surf the net just about anywhere.
Good, I'll take one. And a charger. And one of those little book lights you can clip onto your books at night. My science teacher uses one to read while he makes us watch movies.
The salesman tried to look interested. After paying, Ozzy almost tripped over a small wire rack near the exit. Sitting in the rack were a pile of ORVGs. Ozzy looked around nervously. He had already taken one from the Chinese restaurant, but Clark had torn it up and made a nest out of it. Not knowing if it was against a rule to take a second one, he snagged another. Ozzy left the store feeling dangerous and much more up with the times thanks to his new tablet. Unfortunately for both Ozzy and Clark, when they finally got home, they discovered that the tablet wasn't charged. And since there was no electricity at the cloaked house, using his modern machine was impossible.
This is the worst!
Clark chirped as they both sat on the porch looking crestfallen. Ozzy pulled out his old-fashioned notebook and scribbled something in it.
Wait, Clark said. Did you find something else you're not good at?
Yeah. I can't create electricity.
I hate to be the bird of bad news, but it's entirely possible that you don't possess any special gifts.
I'm aware of that, Ozzy said, already thinking of other things.
You know, I wonder if we could get something solar out here, something to charge things with.
Look in that magazine you swiped, Clark suggested. Maybe there's an electricity store.
Ozzy went inside and came back out with the ORVG. He sat on the steps and flipped through it. He focused on the small classified ads at the back, looking for any mention of solar energy. On the last page, he was happy to find someone who was selling a windmill.
That could work, Ozzy said.
Maybe, but I'm afraid I'll fly into it.
What about...
Ozzy was going to point out an ad for a car battery that could be used to power other things, but his attention was stolen by a tiny classified ad on the bottom of the page. Wizard for hire. Are you in a bind? Are your enemies at the gate? Is it time for some magic? Or perhaps you just need a good potion for sleeping? Call 555 S-P-E-L.
Ozzie shivered. Look at this! He set the magazine down on the porch, and Clark hopped onto the page and read the small words. Babysitter needed. Must have strong nerves? I don't know how good a babysitter you'd be.
No, not that ad, the one below it.
Clark read the right one. Wait, so wizards are real?
I told you!
Ozzie was excited. And you can just call up a wizard and they do things for you?
Well, we can't call because we don't have a phone, but I could call from town.
Why do you want a wizard?
To find my parents.
Clark stared at Ozzie. That is the best idea I've heard in a long time.
Right?
Ozzie said. Definitely right. This magazine has everything. Look, here's an ad for carpet cleaning.
We don't have carpets.
Sure, but if we ever did...
Let's just focus on the wizard. If anyone knows where my parents went, it's him.
Or her, Clark corrected. A her would be a witch. Maybe he's married to one, Clark said.
Don't all wizards have to marry witches?
I don't think so.
That's going to be my first question for him.
I don't know if you should come when I meet him.
Why? Because a talking bird will confuse him? He's a wizard who may or may not have a witch wife. He's probably used to things like that.
Okay, how about I just call him first?
Good, but it's getting dark and I haven't charged my batteries like I should. So either light a candle or let me go settle into my nest.
Just rest. We can't do anything until tomorrow.
Good night, Oz.
Good night, C.
Clark hopped inside and over to his shredded ORVG nest. Ozzie sat alone on the porch and listened to the soft wind twist through the trees. He looked up to the darkening sky, hoping to see into the present and view his parents, wherever they might be. He saw nothing but a dark and cloudy sky. Ozzie took out his notebook and wrote down yet another ability he didn't have.
Chapter 16. In a minute, this will all be coming down.
Ozzie left his tablet at home but took the charger so he could juice it up at school. After fourth hour, he asked his literature teacher, Mrs. Jenkins, if he could plug it into an outlet behind her desk and pick it up at the end of the day.
That's fine, Mrs. Jenkins said. By the way, Ozzie, I wanted to find your parents' email address to let them know about the parent-teacher conferences coming up, but the office doesn't seem to have any information for you.
That's weird.
I think so, too. Your last name is Toffee?
Ozzie nodded.
And what's your home address?
Mrs. Jenkins pulled out a pen from her desk.
Actually, I don't like to give it out.
I see, but does the office have it?
I'm sure they do. I mean, it would be weird for them not to.
I agree, but we couldn't seem to find anything on you.
Mrs. Jenkins stared at Ozzie.
Is there something you're not telling me?
She asked.
I'm late for lunch.
Ozzie left the classroom as quickly as possible.
Mrs. Jenkins' behavior and questions left Ozzie uneasy, but the thought of food made him feel a bit better. He went straight to the cafeteria and picked out food while he worried. When he gave the cafeteria worker his number to pay, she looked up at him and asked,
"Name?"
Ozzie had never been asked that before by her.
"Ozzie?" "Last name?"
Ozzie cleared his throat.
"Toffee?"
The woman's brown eyes bore into his being.
"I have a note on my computer that you're supposed to report to the office."
"I am? Now?"
The woman nodded.
"Can I still take my food?"
The woman didn't nod.
"Okay,"
Ozzie said, beginning to feel like he was stepping into a trap.
"I'll just go to the office right now, then."
The woman had no further comment.
Ozzie left the cafeteria and headed down the hall toward his locker.
Someone was on to him. Mrs. Jenkins had opened a can of worms. He was a 14-year-old with no parents, pretending to be a sophomore. If anyone discovered he was living alone, they'd take his freedom away. As he turned the corner, he saw the principal and the school's police officer standing by his locker. Next to them was a boy named Jason, who rode Ozzy's bus. Ozzy stopped in his tracks and hid around the corner to spy on what was happening.
"That's his," Jason said. "I've seen him put stuff in there."
"Open it up," the principal said.
The police officer stepped up and broke the lock with bolt cutters. There was nothing inside except the few textbooks Ozzy had borrowed for his classes.
"What else can you tell us about him?" the principal asked Jason.
"He really likes Christmas. Oh, and he gets off the bus near the train tracks. And he's got a weird finger."
Ozzy had heard enough. He turned around to run off and ran right into Siggy.
"Hey, Oz," she said loudly. "I was looking for you. One of my teachers asked me if I knew..."
"I have to go."
"What? I..."
The principal came around the corner.
"Ozzy!"
he called out.
"Sorry," Ozzy said to Siggy, "but I really have to go."
The principal reached out for Ozzy, and Siggy strategically slipped between them.
"Principal Ward, I was wondering, are we still going to have tryouts next week?"
"Excuse me, Siggy, but I..."
Ozzy moved backward. As the principal and officer lunged forward, Siggy accidentally put her foot in the way, and both men went down.
"I am so sorry," she said.
Ozzy took off down the hall.
"Stop!"
the principal yelled, getting to his feet.
"Stop!"
Ozzy weaved quickly around other students while being pursued by the principal and the cop. Fortunately for him, he had a head start, and both men were badly out of shape. Ozzy burst through the doors leading outside and tore off across the lawn and toward the edge of the forest.
"Stop!"
the cop yelled.
"Stop!"
Ozzy did no such thing. When he got to the cloaked house, Ozzy was winded and beside himself. To make things worse, Clark wasn't much help.
"So you just left the charger?"
"I couldn't help it," Ozzy said.
"But you promised me bird movies."
"Sorry, but it was bad. I can't go back."
"All right, all right. This is awful. Maybe we should go to the beach and try to relax."
"No, not until we talk to the wizard. Besides, the cops are probably looking for me. I heard Jason tell them where I got off the bus."
"So? That's over 2 miles away from here and in a weird direction. There's no way they could find us."
Still,
you have to get into town somehow and charge your computer."
"I'll wait till tomorrow and then go in to call the wizard."
"How are you going to call him?"
"I don't know. I can't use the phone in the school library now, but I did see one at the Chinese restaurant when I was there."
"And you can use it?"
"They might let me make a call."
"You better hope this wizard is real," Clark said, "because your life is sticky."
"Thanks."
"And what do we do right now?"
"I hope they don't find us."
Ozzy had something to eat and then walked around the cloaked house just under 100 times, looking for signs that anybody might have come looking for him. When he finally went to bed, he was exhausted and fell asleep to the sound of his father speaking. There must always be a counterpart. Nothing in story or science operates alone. Good has evil, positive has negative, and nothing ceases to exist without something.
Chapter 17. Destiny is Calling. Ozzy waited until noon the next day to begin his hike into town. He wore the most unremarkable outfit he could put together in hopes of not standing out. He wasn't sure if anyone would be looking for him, or if someone like Officer Gregg or the school cop had alerted others to be on the lookout. but he knew that Otter Rock was a small town, and it didn't take much talk or time to fill in everyone about everyone else's business. When Ozzy got to the Chinese restaurant, there were only two other people eating at a table near the back, and Tamara was working.
"Hello," she said, excited. "It's you. You left a very nice tip last time."
"I did."
"And you're modest about it. What a nice young man. Would you like a table or a booth today?" she asked.
"Can I sit right there?"
Ozzy pointed to the booth closest to the front counter where the phone was.
"Sure."
He sat down, and Tamara handed him a menu. She walked off to talk with the other customers. Ozzy looked at the phone. It was just sitting there on the counter. He looked at the number he had written on his hand. 555-SPEL. Ozzy sat up as straight as he could. He leaned in closer to study the small letters on each button on the front of the phone. He quickly deciphered what numbers SPEL spelled and wrote the translation on his hand. 555-7735. Tamara was coming back.
"So, would you like something to drink?" she asked. "Water, soda?"
"I'll take that Sprite stuff, please, in a big glass."
"Large Sprite coming right up."
Tamara left and walked through a set of swinging doors that led into the kitchen. Ozzy was nervous, but it helped him to know that gaining the service of a wizard was probably never easy. Access to magic and wisdom always came with a price. He was on a quest, and most quests required sacrifices. Ozzy leaned up to reach for the phone just as Tamara popped out of the kitchen with his drink. Ozzy moved his hand back and pretended like he was waving and not reaching. Tamara smiled as she set the drink down.
"You're so friendly," she said.
"Thanks.
Do you know what you want?"
"Some of that chicken that tastes like oranges."
"Orange chicken?"
Ozzy nodded.
"And rice."
Tamara wrote down his order and returned to the kitchen. It was now or never. He leaned over and picked up the phone. Ozzy held it to his ear and heard the dial tone. Watching the kitchen doors, he dialed the number. It took a moment, but he finally heard ringing on the other end. It rang again, and again, and again. Ozzy's hand was beginning to sweat. Two more rings, and then a voice spoke.
"Hello, you have reached the wizard. I am currently unavailable, but if you leave your name and number, I'll get back to you as soon as possible."
The call had gone to voicemail. Ozzy's heart sank. He didn't know what to do, so after the beep, he whispered into the phone.
"I'm looking for the wizard. It's an emergency and I have no way."
"Hello, hello?"
a live voice said on the other end.
"Hello?"
Ozzy said back.
"Is this a real call?"
the man asked.
"I hope so. I'm looking for the wizard."
"If this is you boys who were harassing me at Walmart, I'll curse the lot of you."
"I don't know what you're talking about,"
Ozzy said honestly, trying to keep his voice down.
"Tony?"
the man asked.
"Who's Tony?"
"My old neighbor thinks he can call me up and make fun of me."
"It's not Tony," Ozzy said, beginning to doubt his decision to call. Tamara came out of the kitchen. "I'll call you right back."
Ozzy hung up the phone as quietly as possible while Tamara tended to her other customers. She eventually made her way over to Ozzy and dropped off some soup and an egg roll.
"Are you okay?"
she asked, staring at Ozzy's forehead. He reached up and wiped the sweat away.
"I'm fine. It's just the food's hot." "I've never seen anyone sweat before the food's arrived." "My whole family sweats. I mean, we're big sweaters."
Tamara smiled and told him that the rest of his food would be out in a few minutes, then returned to the kitchen. Ozzy reached across the counter and picked up the phone again.
After dialing, he sank down in the booth, hoping to keep out of sight of the other customers.
"Hello?" the wizard said. "Who is this?"
"My name is Ozzy, and I need help."
"Ozzy, huh? I used to know a man named Oswald. He had really poor nail hygiene. You know, when someone doesn't clean under their fingernails and dirt gets..."
"Sorry to interrupt," Ozzy interrupted, "but is there a place we could meet and discuss things?"
"Where are you?"
"In a Chinese restaurant."
"What town?"
"Otter Rock."
"Oh, you're at Tim and Sandra's place. They have the best egg drop soup."
Ozzy didn't know if they did or didn't because he hadn't tasted the soup yet.
"So, could we..."
The front door to the restaurant opened, and two cops walked in. Neither one of them was Officer Gregg, but they still made Ozzy's heart race. The cops looked at the counter. Fortunately, they couldn't see the phone cord that was stretched back and into a booth. Ozzy sunk down even lower.
"So could we... what?"
the wizard asked.
"I have to say, this phone call is highly unusual."
Tamara came out of the kitchen and saw the cops. She waved them over to a table 5 booths away from Ozzy.
"Could we meet somewhere?"
Ozzy whispered into the phone, his voice barely audible.
"Hello?"
the wizard asked.
"Are you still there?"
"Yes,"
Ozzy hissed.
"Could we meet somewhere?"
"Listen, there's a steakhouse in Otter Rock named Bites. I go there every Thursday at 4. If you want to talk in person, I'll see you there tomorrow."
"Thanks, I'll..."
"Excuse me," Tamara said nicely. "That phone is for staff only." She had walked over during Ozzy's hissing and caught him in the act.
"Oh, sorry."
Ozzy handed her the phone, and she hung it up. He looked at the cops. One of them made eye contact with him, causing his whole body to shiver. The cop whispered something to his partner.
"Are you okay?" Tamara asked Ozzy. "You're shaking." "I'm fine. I guess I'm just not hungry anymore."
Ozzy took out a $20 bill and put it on the table as he stood up. At the same moment, one of the officers stood and began walking their direction.
"Thanks," Ozzy said.
He slipped out of the booth and, as calmly as he could, walked to the door and left the restaurant before the cop got there.
"Hey, Tamara," the cop said. "Is your bathroom working yet?"
"It is,"
she replied. The cop walked to the restroom, not caring a whit about Ozzy. Chapter 18. The End of an Era. A dozen very important people sat around a long, dark, and very expensive table in the main boardroom of the Harkin Corporation building. Charles Plankdorf sat at one end, and Ray Dungy sat at the other. The people seated on the sides between the two men were also important, but they knew to hold their tongues at the announcement of a long-running and very expensive project being shut down.
"You need to understand," Charles said passionately. "This is a mistake."
"It has been too many years with no results to indicate that it's even possible."
Ray's voice was unwavering.
"You know it's possible."
"I know it's over, but still you cling. We have other projects that need our resources. Projects that are increasing our stock price nicely."
"Projects that pale in comparison to what could be," Charles said.
"This isn't up for discussion. The doctors have been taken care of. The records sealed where they can't do damage to our company. Any company scientists working on it have been reassigned. Our hope is that in a short time we will no longer have to think of it at all. Chalk it up to a learning experience. A long, expensive, and unsatisfying experiment."
Charles breathed out slowly.
"Are we clear?"
Ray asked. Charles nodded, and the board moved on to other business. Chapter 19. The Strangest Things Have Happened Lately. Thursday, the air was particularly wet. The clouds draped over the forest like soggy paper that could be torn with the slightest touch. Flowers had their faces closed, and the birds were silent, unless you count Clark. It's kind of eerie today, don't you think?
Yeah, Ozzie agreed. It feels ominous, like the perfect day for tracking down a wizard.
Do you think he'll actually show? Clark asked, sitting on Ozzie's shoulders as he walked through the trees at the edge of Otter Rock.
I hope so, Ozzie said. He told me he's there every Thursday at 4.
What do you know about this steakhouse?
Well, according to their ad in the ORVG, they serve the area's biggest onion rings, and they're family-friendly, whatever that means.
Maybe some restaurants hate families.
Maybe.
Is he bringing his family? Clark asked.
I don't know. All I know is that he said I could meet him there today if I wanted to. I just don't want to walk in and have a bunch of cops take me away.
Then maybe you need a disguise. You know, something to fool them.
Like what?
You could wear one of your mom's dresses.
No, thank you.
Hear me out. We put you in a dress, some of those tall shoes, and a blanket for a shawl. Nobody will know it's you.
That's not going to happen.
Okay, what about that hat of your dad's in his closet?
That's a plate.
Or you could make some sort of outfit from the cardboard boxes. They wouldn't be looking for a boy in cardboard.
Come on, Clark, that's not going to work.
Hey, at least I'm trying to be part of the solution.
I could argue that.
Okay, Clark said. The outfit's fine. But if this guy turns out to be a real wizard, what are you going to do? You can't just tell him that you live in the woods and need your parents.
Remember what happened with the cops?
I'm going to tell him that my mom's sister and brother are missing and that I need his help to find them. That way I won't have to admit that they're actually my parents.
If this all goes well, do you think he could conjure up a, oh, I don't know, a bird? Maybe an orange metal one?
Orange, huh? It's a very welcoming color.
Well, if this wizard's the real deal, he can do that and more.
A blue one?
Now you want blue?
You said more. Maybe orange with blue wings?
I'm talking about in general. He should be able to help in all ways.
Walking through the trees above the school, both Ozzie and Clark could see the students getting out for the day. Ozzie had loved being around other people, and now he was exiled.
Are you ever going to go back? Clark asked.
I don't think I can.
What about your charger?
Again, I can't do anything about that. I'll have to buy another one.
The bird and boy skirted around the school through the trees. They exited the forest well past Main Street and only a few blocks away from Bite's Steakhouse.
In you go, see, Ozzie said.
Clark flew into the front pocket of Ozzie's hoodie. He stuck his head out of the right side and looked up.
Ozzie waited for two cars to pass and then crossed the street and walked up to Bite's.
The restaurant was a large log cabin with a red metal roof and a wide parking lot. There were only a few cars parked there. The asphalt was black and wet. A woman about 10 years older than Ozzie saw him coming and held open the front door.
Welcome to Bite's, she said as he walked in.
Thanks.
Are you alone or waiting for someone?
The question held a lot of weight for Ozzie. He felt alone and as if he had been waiting for someone his entire life. Now he was looking for a wizard.
I think I'm looking for someone.
Well, come in.
Ozzie stepped in and looked around like an explorer gazing out into the vast unknown. The walls were decorated with animal heads. Hundreds of single, naked light bulbs dangled from the ceiling to give the place light and ambiance. There were numerous tables and booths, and a bar in the middle with a TV at either end. One television had basketball on, the other tennis. The place was relatively empty. A man wearing a suit sat at the bar. A couple at a table were talking loudly about music, and a man in a short off-white robe and pointy felt hat was sitting in a booth by a window.
"Do you know who you're looking for?" the girl asked.
"I do now." Ozzy walked across the restaurant with his hands in his hoodie pocket. He could feel Clark shifting to get a peek at things. He stepped up to the booth.
Excuse me.
The man with the felt hat looked up and stared at Ozzy.
"I'm looking for a wizard,"
Ozzy said softly.
"Well, now you're looking at one,"
the wizard said with a smile.
"I'm Labyrinth, but my friends call me Rin."
Rin wore his off-white robe over a black t-shirt and black jeans. His hat was made from gray felt and had a point at the top that drooped forward and down. His fingers were long, and he seemed to be in better shape than most of the wizards Ozzy had read about. His face was appropriately weathered and covered with whiskers that were half black, half gray. He had blue eyes and long, curly hair that hung down in front of the left side of his face like withered weeds. A moment passed when Ozzy might have just turned around and left, but Rin's kind smile was friendly and unthreatening.
"Phew," the wizard said with a sigh. "I was worried you were one of those obnoxious kids who gave me grief at Walmart last week. Sit down, please."
Ozzy took a seat across from Rin. The booth had tall backs and was made from leather, most likely stolen from some of the animals whose heads were hanging on the wall.
"You found the place all right?"
Rin asked.
"Yes."
There was a basket of bread and cups of butter on the table. Rin took a slice of bread and slathered on a nice portion of butter with a knife.
"I come here every Thursday."
Rin took a big bite.
"I have some,"
he said, spitting flecks of butter. Ozzy wasn't about to say no.
"Your eyes," Rin said. "Very interesting. I'm guessing you're from the tribe of Mandor."
"I don't know what that means."
"Of course you don't. You're not a wizard."
Ozzy looked personally insulted.
"Sorry, that's a rough truth for anyone to hear. And who knows, in time, perhaps, I've been fortunate enough to have been a wizard for over 10 years. If you don't believe me, then you can leave any time, and this meeting will have never happened."
"You mean you'll erase it from our memories?" Ozzy asked, while buttering.
"No, I mean, yes, it will have happened, but it won't result in anything. But that's a wise question. I like people who think outside the cauldron."
Ozzy took a bite of bread and looked at Rin.
"That's wizard speak for think outside the box," Rin explained needlessly.
"I got it."
"You're advanced. I can sense that."
"I think I've seen you before," Ozzy told him. "I bumped into you on the street once, and you were at the police station."
"I get around," Rin admitted. "Or it was the universe warming us both up to the possibility of me helping you in the future. Or it was a random coincidence. Who's to say?"
Rin took a big bite of bread.
"Your finger,"
he said through a mouthful of bread. Ozzy looked at the birthmark on his pointer finger.
"That's not something you see every day, which makes it a character trait of value. I know a woman who wears glasses even though she doesn't need to."
"Is that similar?"
"No, but all things are connected."
Clark stirred in his hoodie pocket, reminding Ozzy to get to the point.
"Right. I was wondering..."
Rin held up his hand to silence the boy.
"Before we continue, you need to know a few more things about me. This is actually my least favorite part of this interaction due to the fact that I hate to toot my own horn. Nonetheless, toot I shall. First, I have great powers, naturally. But I also have the wisdom of the ages."
Rin stopped talking.
"Is that it?" Ozzy asked.
"Let's see. Great power, wisdom of the ages. Yep, that covers it. In a very broad sense, of course.
The waitress came to the table and refilled Rin's water.
What can I get you to drink? She asked Ozzy. Do you have that Sprite stuff?
One Sprite coming up.
She's one of the better servers, Rin said as the waitress walked away. There are a couple here who do a less than wizardly job. So, now that you know about me, let's hear how I can help.
Ozzy cleared his throat.
I need to find someone.
Excellent! That is well within the job description of a wizard. Who is this someone?
Ozzy glanced around quickly.
If I tell you, will you tell other people? I mean, there could be repercussions.
Rin looked hurt.
Of course I won't tell anyone. There is a strict wizard client privilege. Unless you've harmed someone, killed someone, or are looking to do something unlawful, then it is well within my wizardly rights to blab.
I haven't harmed anyone.
Excellent. There will be no blabbery. Now, spill the beans before the pig lands.
Is that wizard talk?
No, I ordered the pork omelet. I love breakfast at every meal. That's something unique to wizards. There's a property to eggs that helps our intuitiveness.
Really?
Of course. Wizards don't make a habit of lying. Now tell me, who are you searching for?
Ozzy looked around again to make sure the conversation was still private.
I'm looking for my aunt and uncle. They disappeared about 7 years ago.
Interesting. And your parents don't know where they are?
No, Ozzy lied. They've tried to find them, but failed. That's why I'm hoping a wizard might be able to help. I haven't told them because I don't want to get their hopes up.
High hopes are a wizard's creed. That and undo unto others as you would have others undo to you.
The waitress was back to drop off Rin's pork omelet.
Enchanting,
Rin said as he gazed at it.
Thanks, the waitress said. I'll tell the cook. What about you, young man? Can I get you something to eat?
The look and smell of the omelet was mesmerizing.
I'll have one of those, Ozzy said, pointing to Rin's meal. You got it.
The waitress walked off, and Rin stared proudly at Ozzy.
You passed the test.
There was a test?
Yes, and you passed with broom-flying colors. The act of ordering breakfast for dinner is quite wizardly and not just some random happenstance. You would fit in well in Quarfelt.
Quarfelt?
It's where... Well, we should wait for that. Let's focus on you. Tell me more about this missing uncle and aunt.
Their names are Emmett and Mia Toffee.
Rin stopped eating and took out a pen and reading glasses from the front pocket of his robe. He put the glasses on and stole Ozzy's napkin to write on.
Emmett and Mia Toffee. Excellent.
Seeing Rin put on glasses made Ozzy feel even more at ease. Harry Potter had sported specs and he was a wizard.
What can you tell me about them?
Well, they were probably in their early 30s when they disappeared. They were both doctors and were living around here.
Their address?
I don't know.
Interesting. In Quarfelt, there are no addresses. Just markers.
I wouldn't know.
Well worded. Wait, I don't think you've given me your name.
Sorry, it's Ozzy. O-Z-Z-Y.
No need to explain things to me. I have the sight of a wizard. I saw the spelling before you told me.
That's impressive.
And your last name?
Rin asked.
It's Toffee, like my uncle and aunt.
Like the candy?
No, just a Y, and no E's.
Oh, T-O-F-F-Y.
Right.
Rin corrected the misspelling on his napkin.
Is there any reason why your aunt and uncle would have disappeared? I mean, maybe they want to be lost.
No.
Okay, then I'll find them.
You will?
Sure, this is what I do. You might be surprised, but reality is no place for a wizard. I'm underappreciated and underutilized here. You would think that the world would put me to work, but they're all afraid of my power.
So, have you always lived here?
Rin laughed as if Ozzy was a little kid with no knowledge as to how the world actually worked.
No!
Ozzy's omelet came, and the wizard and his client spent a few minutes devouring their soft omelets filled with bits of caramelized pork.
This is amazing, Ozzy said.
Yeah, it's called the Eggy Oinker. I'm not a big fan of the name.
I agree.
Once they were finished, the waitress took their empty plates and refilled their glasses.
So, how does this work?
Ozzy said as soon as she was gone. Does it take a long time? Do I pay you now? Do I help?
No, no, and yes, but not in that order.
So, it doesn't take a long time, I don't have to pay you now, and you don't need my help?
Ozzy guessed.
No, it could take a long time. I need some money up front, and I might need your help.
That's no, yes, no.
It'd make sense if you were a wizard.
So, how much up front?
Let's just have you pay for this meal.
Okay.
Then I'll disappear for a while, and when the quest is complete, you'll hear from me.
How?
Do you have a phone?
No.
An owl?
No.
It would really help if you had an owl.
I might have something even better, Ozzy said.
I'm listening, the wizard said with a smile.
Ozzy looked around and then reached inside his hoodie pocket and carefully pulled out Clark.
Chapter 20. Tell You Everything.
Whoa,
Rin said, leaning in to examine Clark closely. Clark was on the table, shielded by Ozzy's arm so that nobody else could see him. Clark spread his wings and fluttered his tin tail. He cocked his head to both sides and then tapped the table with his gold beak.
Is that one of those drone things?
No, this is Clark.
Is he remote controlled?
No, I am not, Clark said. You'd think a wizard would know that.
Rin looked excited.
You'd think so, but you, my friend, are a surprise and most definitely not an owl.
Those mice eaters? I'm a raven.
And he thinks for himself?
Rin asked.
Yes, I do.
You are much more wizard than I gave you credit for, Ozzy.
That's what he wishes, Clark said, but he's having a difficult time figuring out his ability.
It'll surface eventually,
Rin said, never taking his eyes off Clark.
Do we have a deal? Ozzy asked. I'll pay for your meal, and you'll find my aunt and uncle. We can communicate through Clark.
How will he know where I am?
He's an excellent tracker. We can set up places for him to meet you.
I like this. Let's have him meet with me behind the McDonald's tomorrow at 2. I should know more then.
Okay, either my bird or both of us will be there.
The waitress was coming back over, so Ozzy scooted Clark off the table and onto the bench with his arm.
Will there be anything else, Rin? She asked.
No, not today, but as always, let me leave you with some advice.
Of course, the waitress said, fully accustomed to Rin's ways.
If tomorrow you find happiness, don't forget the sorrow that brought you there.
I won't.
More than fair. My work is done here. The boy will get the check.
Rin scooted over to get out of the booth. He stood up and Ozzy was reminded of just how tall he was. The wizard was at least 6'3", and the off-white robe he wore looked shorter than most any respectable wizard would be caught dead in. His shoes were well-worn red high tops with writing all over them. Rin waved his arms over the table and then departed. The waitress left the check on the table, and Ozzy put some money down on top of it.
Is $50 a good tip? He asked Clark.
Seems a little cheap.
Ozzy left some more. As soon as he was out of the restaurant and back in the safety of the trees, Clark came out of his pocket and flew alongside.
So, Clark said, your thoughts?
I'm not sure. He sort of seems like a wizard. I think it just feels good to know that someone else might be looking for my parents.
You know what else would feel good?
Ozzy shook his head. If you got a charger and we could go back and watch some movies on that tablet.
That would be good.
Ozzy made his way to Volts and bought a more expensive charger that used solar energy to store power. Clark was beyond excited by the purchase. Not only would he get to watch bird movies, but there would now be another piece of equipment like him at the cloaked house.
Three against one.
Three?
Me, the charger, and the cassette player all feed off the sun.
And you guys are against me?
It's a figure of beak.
Right. They left the streets of Otter Rock and let the forest swallow them up completely. Chapter 21. The Forest for the Trees. By the time Ozzy and Clark returned to the cloaked house, it was dusk, too dark outside to use the charger. Ozzy needed to light four candles just to make sure there was enough light to keep Clark charged. They sat on the porch, staring up at the few visible stars.
So, do you think Mr. Wizard will find your parents?
I don't know. He seems a little off.
He's a wizard. They're all nuts.
Have you met one before? Ozzy asked.
No, but based on him, that's a pretty good assumption. I'm actually just trying to say things that I think will help you feel better.
Their thoughts were interrupted by the sound of something thrashing around in the forest. Both Ozzy and Clark's heads jerked around to look towards the noise.
Blow out the light,
Clark whispered. Ozzy did.
I don't see anything,
he whispered.
Is it one of those deer things?
It could be a fox, Ozzy said, or some other animal.
Come on.
Ozzy moved down the porch steps and toward the trees. Pressing his body up against a tall oak, he listened for any noise. They could hear some more thrashing and grunting.
Animals, Clark said. They have no sense of propriety or proper behavior. Do you know I once saw a fox defecating into the stream? Come on, that's disgusting.
Shh! Ozzy knew it could be an animal. After all, the forest was filled with them. But tonight felt different. His guard was up due to his current circumstances.
Listen, Clark said.
What? Clark, out of juice, shut down. The day hadn't been sunny enough to keep him charged any longer. He dropped from Ozzy's shoulder and fell to the ground. The boy quickly picked him up and put him in his hoodie pocket. There was something thrashing in the dark, followed by a strange voice, swearing. It wasn't an unfamiliar voice, just strange.
Labyrinth?
Ozzy moved closer to the swearing. 10 steps later, he could see Rin kicking at some moss and trying to find the shoe that had come off. Ozzy stayed back at a safe distance and spoke.
Rin? What are you doing here?
The wizard jumped.
Ozzy! You scared the spell out of me. I got tangled up in this brush and fell down. Now I can't find my shoe.
Sorry, but what are you doing here? How did you know I'd be out here?
A wizard knows all.
Also, I followed you from the restaurant. Sorry if that's weird, but a person doesn't meet a boy with a talking metal bird every day.
You followed us? Ozzy said.
Yeah. Before becoming a wizard, I was an Eagle Scout.
I have no idea what that is.
It's something my mom earned for me.
What it means is that not only can I sew and make toy cars, I can find my way in the woods.
which, by the way, is a helpful skill for wizards. You'd be surprised how many times it's up to me to guide my wizard pals through